Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you right now. All right, bro, Eddie. Would you thank the Lord for Eddie, our drummer? He's family. He really is. He's family. Yeah. He and Vanessa and Eddie 2.0 and Hannah. Father, we want to thank you for this seed that's been sown today, and we thank you for that which is going to come in from our other members and those supporting the ministry that are not here today. And Father, we pray that you would bless this, multiply it, that it would go further now in accomplishing your purposes than any way that we think we might use it. Father, we want to thank you that we believe in your principle of seed, time, and harvest. And we thank you that as we sow, and we've sown in times past, we have harvest coming forth. And so once again, we declare harvest, come forth. Harvest, come forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So this track that she's getting ready to play, it's a song that God blessed us with. Wrote this song about 10 years ago. And one of my spiritual sons recently recorded it. And it's out all over the world now. But it's our song. Say, it's our song. Yeah, it's our song. We just haven't sung it in a while. Well, I did sing it Friday night, but I don't think any of you were here. It's called Get Ready. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can move around if you want to. Oh, no.
I'm expecting a move of God, anticipating a move of God.
That sounds good.
Releasing faith for a move of God in this place. Anybody else, sing it with me.
I'm expecting a move of God.
Anticipating
a move of God.
Hallelujah.
Releasing faith for a move of God
in this place. For us, get ready. He's able to overcome more than we could ever ask for. I'm expecting a miracle.
Y'all believe in miracles?
Anticipating a miracle.
Yeah.
Releasing faith for my miracle.
Uh-huh.
In this place. For everything that you have for me.
Clap with me.
Your miracle is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. Yes, it is. Your healing is coming.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Get ready. When the Lord gave us that song, we just simply called it Expecting a Move of God. And by the time they finished recording it, arranging and recording it, he asked, can we just call it Get Ready? I said, yeah, that sounds good. And how many of you know it's time to be ready? It's time to be ready. Hallelujah. Right now, it's time to be ready. I want to, if you happen to be following along, looking at the word, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to spend time there. I'll reference other scriptures, but I want to spend some time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But before I do that, I want to read again one of the segments from the prophetic word we received from pastors, the Sosas, George and Sandra Sosa, on last Sunday. And we're getting that printed and in a form that we can make it available to you so that you can have it, read it, pray into the word for yourself. There's a lot of meat in it, a lot of word in it. But there's one part that I was reading through this morning, and I felt like God had me hone in on it because of a couple of things that it said and where we find ourselves right now, many in the body of Christ. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you. You said your word would go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent it. So I thank you for your word right now. I thank you for the gift of prophecy. I thank you for the office of prophets, God. And I thank you, God. We honor the spirit of prophecy in this house. And so when we hear your word and you speak to us, God, we don't take it for granted, but we take that word and we desire that we would be able to see that word manifested in our lives. And so I thank you right now for the prophets in the house, the spirit of prophecy in this house. And I thank you for your word going forth now. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for clarity of mind, clarity of speech. In Jesus' name, amen. So the part that I'm focusing on was actually with the topic, God is in charge. God is in charge. And it says this, we have lived and experienced the unknown with the COVID, and it can be seen in all spheres in the world. God speaks of depending on him totally to return to the first love. God wants us once again to depend on his grace and entrust our path to Jehovah and his will. God speaks that we will be tested by fire as great metal is tested. That is why we must return to the first love, to prayer, to fasting, and totally depend on him. We need to consecrate ourselves to another level and make pacts with God, pacts of obedience. Waves of prayer and praise will come to bring his kingdom and his righteousness. Whoever is sensitive to hear him through the word and through the prophets will begin to see exaggerated miracles. There is much news on the earth that only brings disappointment and confusion, but heaven is still the eternal news. Keep moving. Keep moving because the kingdom is on the move and his promises remain firm. Our reality is not his truth. The blood of Jesus is true because God has dominion over everything. We need to activate faith in another dimension because vision without action is just an illusion. Action without believing gets us nowhere. Good word. So I want to talk from a few moments. God is in charge. Do not lose heart. God is in charge. Do not lose heart. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church, and he's writing to them at a very difficult time. The early church suffered persecution in ways that many of us really can't fathom or understand. You have to dig deep into the history of the early church to understand all that they really struggled through, the price that they paid. One brother I was talking with recently was just asking me a lot of questions around our walk, and he was talking about, why is it so challenging? Why is it? And he's listing off, George, a litany of things that have happened in his life, and why does it have to be like this? Why does it have to be like this? Why does it have to be like this? And then he started going down the road of saying, you know, I was talking to this guy, and I was really trying to minister to him, and he seemed like he had all his stuff together, and when I tried to talk to him about God, he didn't want to really hear what I had to say. And he said, I don't understand that. I don't understand why everything seems to be okay in his life, and I'm serving God, and it doesn't seem like anything is going right, like anything is going well. And I just simply said to him as he listed off these things, and then he threw in, and why is it? So sometimes when I'm talking to people and they start going like that, I recognize I have no answer for you. And so then he threw in, and why did all the disciples have to suffer painful deaths? Why did all of them have to die the way they did? So I was talking to him. I said, well, you know, I said, as far as all the things where your mindset is, I said, you need to read Psalms 73. Just go to Psalm 73 and read it. Now, if you don't know what Psalm 73 how it reads, I just encourage you sometime when you're feeling down and you feel like you're the only one that's going through and God on your side, you need to read Psalm 73. Because the psalmist right there is writing and he's saying all the things that this guy was saying. I serve God and nothing seems to be going right. I'm paraphrasing now. However, when you read a little further down, it says this, but when I came into the sanctuary. What he is saying is, once I got into the presence of God, my perspective changed. Once I got into the presence of God, I recognized I was off. That's a good time to repent, when you recognize you're off. You're blaming God. And this person was asking all these why questions. And I couldn't answer him. And I just let him know. And I just sent him to the scriptures. I said, you need to get more into the word. You need a stronger foundation in the things of God. You need to increase your prayer life. You need to, if you don't have a fasting discipline, it'd be good to work your way into some level of fasting as well, so that you can silence the flesh. Silence your emotions. And so Paul, in his writing here, he starts out and he's helping them to recognize, and he knows because he's also suffering with them. It says this, verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, it says this, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Again, I'm talking to you this morning out of God is in charge. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. In this prophetic word that we received, it starts out by helping us to recognize, yes, we've experienced this whole thing with this virus, and it has covered the world. And the way that media has reported on it, you would think Jesus is coming tomorrow, because it's like we're at the end of the world. But Jesus made it clear, when you begin to see these signs, just know then the end is near, but not over. And so in it, it's helping us to recognize how we need to posture ourselves during this time, what we need to do in disciplines as we continue to move forward. Paul writes here and says, do not lose heart. Say that, do not lose heart. Come on, just act like you're looking at somebody and say, do not lose heart. Yeah. Eddie, we're not losing heart. It says, we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's every man's conscience in the sight of God. It says, and even if the gospel be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in which case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then it goes on and says this, for we do not preach of ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are the answers. We are the answers. In Matthew, Jesus is talking to the disciples and those following. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The perspective and the paradigm that you and I must walk in is, while we are in the world, we are not of the world. It is only out of a disciplined life of prayer, a disciplined place of worship, a disciplined place in the world, that you're able to live above what's going on right now. So we're in the midst of it, but we're not of it. Meaning we will have to contend with certain aspects of it, but we don't have to take the hit like the unbeliever does. Okay, just three of y'all say amen. Okay, come on, work with me. I'm trying to deliver this so we can go ahead and get something to eat. So I'll just joke. That's humorous for me because I ain't eating right now. But go get something to drink. So Paul writing here says, we don't lose heart. While everything that is going on, we have to remind ourselves, we are the answer. You are the answer. If you're a born-again believer filled with the Spirit of God, you are the answer. And it's out of that place, that disciplined place, that next place that we find ourselves in of prayer and fasting and worship and the word, that helps us to stay calibrated. Say calibrated. Yeah, it helps us to stay tuned into where we really live. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It helps us and reminds us of who we are connected to. We are connected to the vine. We're the branches. Jesus is the vine. We are connected to the source. And so Paul is reminding them that you and I have something on the inside of us that makes a difference. We are the answer. You are the answer. Then he goes on and says this. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may be of God and not of ourselves. It says we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring, King James, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. You know what he's saying there? He's saying we are thinking about this all the time. We are thinking about this all the time. Though troubled on every side, not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in us and through us. So as you and I are walking this through, we must remind ourselves, God is in charge. Do not lose heart. God is in charge. So when he's writing here, he's also helping us to recognize we are in a battle. We are in a battle. One of the prophetic words I've received over the last few years is that God would use me to raise up an army of believers, who are able to, if you will, forcefully advance the kingdom of God. You don't casual your way into this. Not in these times in which we live. while you're casually your way into it, you get canceled out. Because there are things happening right now. Hear me now. There are things happening right now behind the scenes in order to weaken the church in a greater way if the church doesn't stand up in this hour. Did somebody get ready to clap? Because that was a good time to clap. I thought somebody thought, well, that's a good time to clap. Then they stopped. So I'm going to say that again. It's time for the church to stand up. I'm looking for warriors. I'm raising up an army. I'm raising up an army. That's what God told me. He said, you're going to raise up one of the largest armies in this area. I'm raising up an army. That's what the embassy is about. We're raising up an army. And some of those folk that were here yesterday are a part of that army. The way it looked yesterday, you better get used to that, because that's about to happen. Come on, y'all. It's kind of challenging to think about it. Think about it for a moment. People will come out for a conference, but not necessarily come out for a Sunday morning service. That's just a aha kind of moment. Kind of moment. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that's really motivating us right now? What's really motivating you right now as a believer? Paul is saying, listen, in the midst of everything that's going on, recognize that Christ is being manifested in us. Christ is being manifested through us. At least the opportunity is there. But hear me, that opportunity will only happen when you recognize that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and you live out of that place. Meaning, even though you're going through what you're going through while others are going through similar things, your conversation is different. Your conversation is speaking life into the situation. As a matter of fact, you look for opportunities to kind of help gently correct others in their speech and in their perspective of things. Because we know in the end of the day, God is in charge. So for that reason, we do not lose heart. We won't lose heart. And so Paul goes on writing here, verse 12, he says this. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is spoken says, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also, therefore, also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us to you. He says, going back now, he says, I believe, therefore I spoke, says, we also believe, therefore we speak. You cannot allow the enemy, however he comes to you, to silence your voice in this season. That's why God gave us the song, I won't be silent. I won't be still. Why? Praise is my weapon. My strength is in his will. And then we declare, I will live and not die. I will live and not die. I will fight. I will win. Now get up. See, that's one of those kind of moments where you may be kind of buckling at your knees just a little bit. I've shared before, but I like that visual that always pops in my head when I talk about getting up from the Matrix when not Neo or the lady. Trinity, thank you. Yeah. Where Trinity is fighting. And she's running from, I guess, Mr. Smith, I think that's his name. And she's running, and she jumps from one roof through a window in another building and rolls down the steps. When she gets to the bottom of the steps, she lands on her back. I love that visual. She lands on her back, and she's kind of like just frozen there. And then she says, get up, Trinity, get up. She's talking to herself. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. How many sometimes just you don't even want to get out of bed? Come on, y'all talk. You know what? I'm just honest with you. I mean, I always am. But this morning, after all day yesterday and Friday, and I've been fasting, and I'm like, okay, get up, John. Get up. I'm talking to myself while I'm laying in bed. Part of our dynamic is of the day is we've lost an hour. Did any of y'all feel that this morning? I felt it. I can just kind of spend my time because we ain't record, you know, we ain't video and stuff. I'm like, man. So you gotta kind of calculate that the night before. So at 9 o'clock, it's really 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is really 11 o'clock. Well, I went to bed about 12, so that means it's really 1 o'clock. Set my alarm for 7. And it came so fast, I thought something was wrong with my phone. That couldn't be the alarm. And I'm laying there, and I'm saying, get up, John. Get up. Get up, John. I'm like, did I schedule anybody else to preach this morning? Is that? No, it's you this morning. Maybe Jamal got another message. You know, now he got to be as tired as I am. But there's those moments where you must speak to yourself. You must speak to yourself and then rise up. And right now for the church, I'm telling you, this is the hour. Shake off the fear of a virus that was taken care of 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Now hear me, I'm not saying that you don't do the wise things that you need to do. I'm not saying don't take the vaccine. Listen, if it's available and you need that, want that, get that. Just like many do the flu shot and those kind of things, okay? Hear me, I'm talking about perspective. I'm talking about not losing heart. I got so tired of watching the news and CNN and having them project how many people are going to die today, how many people are going to be dead by the end of the month, how many have died in the world. Listen, I canceled cable. I went to Cincinnati Bell, said, I'm bringing my cable boxes back. I don't need this information. That's skewed anyway. See, the prophetic word is, there is much news on the earth that only brings disappointment and confusion, but heaven is still the eternal news. I love that. Because after you've watched whatever you're watching on the television, you need to turn that off and you need to tune into that heavenly station and get a glimpse on what God is saying. There'd be more people getting up and responding right now, Pastor Nina, if they would do that. Because they would recognize that this is part of the journey. This is part of the life that we must live now as believers. Paul, in his writing, is helping them to understand. Goes on in verse 15 and says, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And then he says again in verse 16, therefore, now he's saying, therefore, in light of what I've just said to you, we do not lose heart. Come on, say that. We do not lose heart. Say it a little louder. We do not lose heart. The word says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. I'm telling you right now, for many, it's due season. It's due season. It's due season. You got to understand the kairos. That's the first part. part of the message that came forth. You got to understand the kairos. You got to understand the season. When you understand the season that you're in, then you know what to do with the chronos of it. The kairos is the season, but the chronos is the succession of moments. When you understand, talking about the sons of Issachar now, who could discern the times, it says, if you can discern the times and understand the season, then you know what to do with the chronos. You know what to do with the moment by moment, the hour by hour, the day by day. We do not lose heart. We are not weary in well-doing, for in due season. Can you just prophetically speak over yourself and say, it's my season? Come on, say, it's my season. As long as you live in a place where you keep it out in front of you, many things are never going to be manifested in your life. They're not going to be manifested in your life until you can say, it's now. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. What's it mean to lose heart? It just simply means that all hope is gone. All expectation has left. That's why I love the song, A Joyful Expectation of Good. It's in the book of Joshua where we see an incredible example of what losing heart can do for you, what it can do to you. You remember in Joshua chapter 2 when the two spies are sent out. Joshua was wise enough. He said, we ain't sending out 12. We only going to send out 2. At least we get a 50-50 report. But this 10 saying one thing and 2 saying another, we ain't going through that again. That's why sometimes less is more. Sometimes less is better. He sends out the 2. The 2 and go out and they spy the land and they come across Rahab. What Rahab says to them changed this perspective of everything. As a matter of fact, let me find that real quick. Yes. Joshua chapter 2, and I'm almost done. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8. It says this. And you guys, I want you to hear me. Let me pause right there. Now I need you to hear this prophetically concerning you. And let me say this. Let me tell you why. So often we live in a place in our minds, in our thought life, that God shows up when you show up, meaning he's not doing anything on your behalf until in the moment. But there is a place of faith and believing where you know he's already done it. He has spoken to you. The way is already prepared. Now, you may not know how it's prepared, and you don't need to know. That's why it's about faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so there are seasons, faith building seasons, maturing seasons, when God will just simply say, just go. Now, word has already come to Joshua. I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. I'm going to give you this land. But Joshua doesn't know the details of it. It's revealed as you go. Oh. It's revealed as you go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Historically, when you go back and you look, you'll see that they had little lamp kind of things, candles, that they would try to that they would have on their sandals. Or they're carrying something that illuminates, but it's not like the high beam cars we have now, or the 600 aluminum flashlights or whatever that you have, where you can turn that thing on and you can see a mile away. No, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Meaning there are times when the word that God gives, you're only going to see so far with that word. But you go as far as you can until he says something else. okay, I'm really enjoying this. So here it is in Joshua. He says here, verse 8, listen to this. Joshua 2, verse 8 says, now before they lay down, she, Rahab, came up to them on the roof. And listen to this. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted before you, melted away before you. Now listen to this. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Pharaoh, came out of Egypt. Now just think about that for just a moment. She's saying, we only heard about it. We're not the ones that experienced it, but we just heard about it, and it did something to us. Now, what should it have done for all those when they first came out? They should have been in that promised land 40 years earlier, because they were the ones that experienced it. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. It says, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And look at this. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Glory, glory, glory. That's why, what I just read to you, that's why when you read in Joshua 6 and verse 1, it says this. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, no one came in. They were so afraid that they put everybody on lockdown. You don't go out, nobody gets in. What they did not factor in was the God factor. What they did not factor in is that God is in charge. What they did not factor in is that God's not going to bring them through the gate. He's going to bring them over the rubble after your walls come down. They heard of God, but still did not recognize how powerful he was and how committed he was to fulfilling his word. Sometimes you and I can wrestle with, how committed is he concerning me? How committed is he concerning his word concerning me? And I want to say to you, he's just as committed to you. He's just as committed to me. He's just as committed to his church as he was to Joshua, as he was to Moses, as he was to Abraham concerning his covenant. He is committed to his word. And so lastly, in Paul's writing, 2 Corinthians 4 again, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For, King James says, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. King James, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Come on, say eternal perspective. Come on, say kingdom perspective. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.